Culture Dumps.
Hello, folks, and welcome back to Culture Dumps. I'm Ryan Lichten. Today I'm joined by Eric D.
We're so back, baby.
Yes, winning.
We are winning.
In a big, big way. Today's topic has been requested since you guys actually started taking our advice and sending us suggestions. Whenever we say that at the end of the show, when we give you our email address and our Instagram and all that, we do want you to suggest things, if for no other reason than to validate the things we were already going to do. So, yes, we're talking Charlie Sheen's winning era, which if you were around for this, it was inescapable.
Oh, yeah. This is like, you know, not obviously things before this were viral. But it was in the era of in between now and
it was
and
like
early
a
viral.
Perfect storm.
It was a perfect storm for sure.
You know, like, yeah, and like there's a lot of like there's streaming, you know, early stages here. There's social media stuff. There's just, I mean, crazed drug stuff. There's a weird kind of there's this whole story is just lined with tragedy and bad decisions and winning and awesomeness. I'm trying not to say it so much, but
it's inevitable.
It's fun.
Yeah. Winning.
Winning.
I'm winning.
Yeah, dude. It's
what's
so.
It, what's he say something? I'm by winning.
They go, are you bipolar? And he's like, I'm by winning. I win here. I win there.
Oh my God. you could use it for anything, right?
Like, dude, it's so good. And like, this is kind of, it's like a throwback to like our Big Dogs episode. What was the other one? The other shirt we did with all the dick jokes. I can't remember what it's called.
We
did the episode together where it was like Big Dogs and then like
Big Johnson.
Big Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like winning is like a shirt that you would get at a store that sold Big Johnson.
I only want to do episodes that involve the word big or winning.
Yeah.
Winning
from now
big,
on.
Winning big.
Yes. So we're not going to get into, you know, Charlie Sheen's whole life here. Because that would be too crazy, but we kind of are. And yes, this is part one, because as I was writing this, I was like, dude, this is such like a cliffhanger-y deal. So without further ado, why is Charlie Sheen's winning era a dump? Well, Charlie Sheen's winning era is a dump because it encapsulates so many great and awful things about celebrity obsession during the 2010s. There's always been celebrity bad boys, and Charlie Sheen would probably take up two spots on the Mount Rushmore of said bad boys. But Sheen managed to dodge failure and consequence for decades. The man was a tabloid goldmine and an endless well of scandal. When his winning era began, he was the highest paid actor in television history, and people ate up his incredibly public meltdown. So much so that rather than it ruining him, it actually seemed to catapult him into yet another level of fame and fortune. Until it didn't. Throughout the history of Hollywood bad boys, there has been a winning streak, no pun intended, where these untouchable gods of the silver and small screen seem to be immune to negative impact. Charlie's winning era changed that narrative, and we all saw what can happen when a celebrity embraces their scandals and allows the darkness to take hold. Oof. Yes. Speaking of darkness, if you want, you know, if you want like a kind of a video component to this, check out Dark Side of the 2000s. It's way better than Dark Side of the 90s. It's not as good as Dark Side of the Ring, and it's not as good as Dark Side of Comedy. But Dark Side of the 2000s has an amazing episode about the winning era.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
I just watched a ton of the 90s one, like the Spice Girls and all that.
Yeah, I love it.
I mean, you showed me that show. I've watched so much of it.
Yeah, actually, there's, a new season, and they have an episode about Kid Nation, which was a show where they had like an old West town, right? Like an old filming, like kind of like Spawn Ranch where the Manson family lived.
Sure, yeah.
But they just unleashed like a whole gang of kids, and they're like, survive, and it got really bad.
Lord of the Flies in an old Western town.
100%. And one of our previous guests, Brett Berg from Museum of Home Video, he just did a 2-hour kind of like highlight cut of Kid Nation. So check out Museum of Home Video for that.
Cool.
But yeah, one of the things with Charlie Sheen, during the winning era was, I mean, there was so much shit going on. He had the goddesses that he lived with, two girlfriends at once,
yep,
that he called the goddesses. I knew one of them. I worked with one of them at a weed store.
No way.
And when she quit, we were like, what's she going to do? Flash forward like 6 months, and the 2020 interview comes out, and it's like, here's his goddesses. And we're like, fucking Natalie.
Oh,
we're like, what
God.
The fuck? And we're like, holy shit.
How's she doing now?
She was in Dark Side of the 2000s. So
oh, great.
She
so
seems fine.
She's crushing. Yeah.
Yeah, she seems fine. She did not contract the disease that he did. But this is one of our, like, this is a current dump in a way, because Charlie Sheen is still kind of making headlines in a way. Did you see the video of him wasted at a Taco Bell that came out recently?
No.
It's so fucking funny and chill.
This is like very recent.
This is very recent. So these people are in a drive-thru at a Taco Bell. It's late at night. It's you know, you can tell it's late at night, A, because it's dark, duh, but also the line is so long. And so they're in this line, and they're like, is that Charlie Sheen? He's out of the car. He was like probably taking a piss.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, yeah. And he comes over, and they're filming him, and he's just like, hey, I'm Charlie. How are you? And he's like, sorry, I'm so fucking hammered. Oh my God, it's dude. Like hilarious.
Dude.
Sorry, I'm so fucking hammered. That's like what I want to start saying, like, at people's weddings.
Yeah. I mean, I do that anywhere I go. Sorry, like, I'm so fucking hammered. Met Syndicate, and I'm like, hey, nice to meet you. Sorry, I'm fucking hammered. Yeah, if you like me on the internet and I seem like shit right now, sorry, I'm fucking hammered.
I'm fucking hammered. Yeah. So let's get into it. The man behind the Tiger Blood.
Ooh.
There are two ways to cover Charlie Sheen's winning era. One would be to dive into his entire life, laying out a detailed map of just how one of the world's most successful actors ended up being a globally recognized joke. The other way is to just dump this shit and get right to the good stuff. Winning! but we actually are going to talk about his history, so I digress. When talking about Charlie Sheen, his accomplishments, both good and bad, cannot be glossed over so easily. See, because Sheen had always been in the tabloids for one reason or another, and to anyone hip to current celebrity culture, it's mind-boggling how his career seemed to not only recover after every transgression, but improved. It's wild. Like, no one hated him. And no one hated him.
Yeah, I mean,
he could do the worst shit ever, and he has, and we'll talk about, like, some of the actually bad shit. Him being fucked up and ranting on the internet is a piss in the pool compared to the actual horrible things that he's done.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But
as usual, I'm coming into this blind. Ryan does all this research. I was just thinking, I was like, in a world full of really sketchy people, like, being weird on the internet isn't one of them, but I can't wait to hear how horrible this man is.
Right. Well, you know, we all make mistakes.
Yeah, do
some
we?
A lot more than others. The man we know as the Warlock, the man with Adonis DNA, the rock star from Mars, Charlie Sheen, was born Carlos Irwin Estevez on September 3rd, 1965. Charlie's first major exposure to showbiz was through his father, acclaimed actor Martin Sheen, who brought Charlie to one of the most infamously brutal film sets of all time. At the ripe old age of 9 years old, Charlie was brought to the set of Apocalypse Now, a production that was plagued by alcohol and drug use as well as a plethora of other problems. Picture like a not funny version of Tropic Thunder.
Oh, yeah.
That's what Tropic Thunder is based on, is the filming of Apocalypse Now.
Oh, yeah, because it's like they try to keep it real and keep it like whatever, but the right.
So this scene, you're on acid, so take some acid.
Yeah. And the realness of it, like, you know, that was way over production. Like, filming was way over. Budget was way over. Like, the actors
were all
fucked
up. You're in the jungle.
Yeah. Charlie Sheen's dad was fucked up.
Yeah, Charlie Sheen's dad had a heart attack on the set due to his deviancies. But we will be doing a bonus episode on Patreon, our show DocuDumps, which we do on Patreon, patreon.com/culturedumps. DocuDumps is where I just, you know, review documentaries that I like. We're going to talk about Hearts of Darkness, which is a documentary about the filming of Apocalypse Now.
You've obviously seen Apocalypse Now.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's an overrated movie.
What?
Do you love it?
I love it.
I think it's great.
I think there's better movies about the Vietnam War, but as a standalone, it's one of the best movies of all time.
It's
the Taxi Driver of war movies.
That's fair. That's a fair assessment. I think it's been so long since I've seen it that my more mature brain would understand, like, the production and the
roll
filming.
A joint. But not with a crutch. Like hand roll a shitty joint.
Do some acid.
And take some and just, like, sit back and watch that shit. And also, you have to be like me right now and be sweating alcohol out of your forehead. But yeah, his dad had a heart attack. You know, coke and hallucinogens were rampant. It was insane. But also, so yes, Charlie Sheen was born Carlos. He dropped the Spanish name in order to get more work. But his brother, Emilio Estevez, kept it real.
So, sorry, but they're half brothers or no? Are they brother brothers?
I think they're brother brothers. They're Eskimo brothers.
Yeah. They fuck the same dad. Yeah, we just both fucked Martin Sheen.
Yeah, Emilio.
Yeah. So what's the Sheen in the
I don't know. I didn't go into that. Again, this is where I'm like, hey, we're not going, like, we're not doing his whole life, even though I literally started with him being
born. I've always wondered, because I found that out in, like, the 90s, you know, and I was like, wow.
Yeah. You know. No, it's wild. But yeah, why Emilio went one way, went the other. But, you know, also a Carlos Estevez would have probably done way more coke than Charlie Sheen, if you can even imagine.
Yeah,
that.
He's they're so white.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Now, it would be too big of an assumption to say that the set of Apocalypse Now is where a young Sheen learned that bad habits thrive in Hollywood, but one must wonder what lasting impact that experience had on Charlie. Young Estevez, now Sheen, began his film career in 1974 with an appearance in a film his father starred in titled The Execution of Private Slavik. But his first starring role was in the 1984 teens versus Cold War invasion flick Red Dawn. But it would be his appearance in the classic 1986 film Ferris Bueller's Day Off that really piqued the public's interest in Charlie Sheen. So, you know, he's in Red Dawn. Red Dawn's a great film, you know, just like all-star, like an ensemble, if you will. Sure. Like everyone that was in that movie went on to do big shit later.
He was 19 when he did that.
That's insane.
Imagine that. I was like in a hardcore band being like, I rule.
Yeah.
He's like, fuck.
Can you imagine that movie was real, though, and you're 19, you have to fight the Ruskies? Or the Cubans, whoever the fuck they were fighting in that movie.
That's going to be reality.
Yeah.
Because I ain't doing shit.
Yeah, exactly. I'll just hide in my house with my hands up waiting for him.
Yeah.
But in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, it was a very small part, but it was iconic, and he played a junkie. So that's interesting. 1986 proved to be a big year in the life of our budding star, as he also starred in Oliver Stone's Vietnam War masterpiece Platoon. Platoon went on to win 8 Academy Awards. Charlie himself was not nominated, but the critically acclaimed film helped launch him into what one might call superstardom. And it's interesting that his dad was in Apocalypse Now than he was in Platoon.
Have you seen Platoon?
Oh, yeah. It's
great. I haven't.
Dude, Willem Dafoe, fucking
better than Apocalypse
very
Now?
Homosexual style, giving him like a shotgun hit out of a shotgun, which is where that term comes from, folks. See, you learn stuff here on Culture Dumps.
Is that true?
Yeah. No, they when you blow smoke into someone's mouth call it shotgunning, that's because in the Vietnam War, they would empty a shotgun, blow it through the cartridge loader out of the barrel, and you would inhale the other person's smoke from the barrel.
Damn, I wonder if they were like, you know, they're fighting a war in a foreign country. I wonder if they just like found weed.
They did. And heroin. Dude, a lot of those guys came back addicted to heroin.
Just because they found poppy plants or fucking...
They're just like, fuck it. Yeah.
Like, I mean, if I was out there, I'd be like, fuck it.
And no one, you know, knew what was going on out there anyways. You just like, kill as many people as you can. That's the only way we can track our progress
in
this war.
Imagine getting ambushed on heroin.
Is Vietnam a dump? I don't know.
Yeah, the Vietnam dump. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a 16-parter. So Charlie was employed by director Oliver Stone once again in 1987 for the film Wall Street, starring opposite Michael Douglas, who actually won the Academy Award for Best Actor that year. By the time Wall Street came out, Charlie Sheen was one of the most recognizable movie stars in the world. Now, this is the part where we're going to burn through a good bit of time in Sheen's life in the interest of getting down and dumpy as quick as possible. See, one thing to keep in mind about Charlie was, you know, just how famous he really was. You know, usually on this show, we don't talk about people that are on his level. You know, there's like the B-list stuff. So like sometimes there'll be a big scandal that we'll talk about, but Charlie Sheen is a fucking full-fledged movie star.
Oh, for real.
You know, I mean, 100%.
I've known about him since I was like 4.
Yeah, he's been around. And while we mentioned his earlier work, the period of time that we're going to skip is probably his most successful. The rest of the 1980s was a whirlwind for Sheen. He starred in massive hit films such as Young Guns and Major League. The hits didn't stop as the 90s came along, but it would be the 90s that when the world was introduced to a new Charlie Sheen. Not Charlie Sheen the movie star, but Charlie Sheen the scandal magnet and tabloid cash cow. Let's start winning. Yeah.
Real quick, I know we're glazing over his career, but Hot Shots and Heart Shots Part 2
amazing.
Are some of the funniest movies ever. That whole like was it the same director as Airplane and Naked Gun? I don't know.
I think so.
But that whole like parody-esque
it's
realm.
Amazing. Like it's like a Leslie Nielsen movie. Like any of those. Like,
exactly.
Just
right.
Like wacky,
they were
zany,
so
goofball.
Perfectly awesome. If you try to make it now, it doesn't fucking work.
No.
You know, but back then, shit was not that weird.
Parody movies used to be really good. You know what I think ruined it? Scary Movie, because Scary Movie 1 and 2 are literally cinematic masterpieces.
Yeah.
And then they came out with 3, 4, 5, I think 6, and then Action Movie, and then Superhero Movie, and then Date Movie.
Yeah.
And it's like, you killed the genre.
That, like anything in human culture, it gets exploited and done to death.
Yes.
But Hot Shots 1 and 2.
Amazing.
Holy shit, they're so fucking funny, dude.
They're incredible. Yeah, Hot Shots, but and also Major League was huge
for sure.
But yeah, so let's go down the path here. Charlie's first real taste of publicized scandal and our first peek at the Warlock with Tiger's blood, his true nature, like that all became known in 1994. See, in 1993, an enterprising young woman named Heidi Fleiss was arrested on federal charges, including pandering and tax evasion. What brought Heidi to the Fed's attention was the fact that she was running one of the country's largest and most profitable escort services. And during the investigation, many of Fleiss's celebrity contacts were identified publicly, including, most famously, Charlie Sheen. It was, she kept books. I mean, it was a real business, right? Escort stuff, it's a real business.
Yeah.
He spent $53,000 between 1991 and 1993 on hookers.
That's not bad. That's 2 years, dude. That's 2 years.
Considering how much money he had, that's but also inflation, like that. That's like $100,000 now.
I always wonder about like millionaires that get hookers.
Yeah,
but I get it because like you can't like bang a fan and then they're like, oh, I banged Charlie Sheen. You know what I mean? There's got
to
be some.
Yeah, you know, you're paying for discretion. You're also paying to not have to talk. And
$53,000 to that dude right then in his prime is like me and you.
Like, you go to a drive-thru to get fast food because you don't want to cook.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
If you want to cook, find a girlfriend. If you want fucking fast food, get a fucking escort. You know what I mean?
$53,000 worth of Del Taco.
Yeah. Yeah, Del Taco is right.
Yeah.
Now, with his secret lifestyle now out in the open, Sheen embraced his newfound reputation as a bad boy. Besides his own adoration for working girls, Sheen also became known for his insatiable appetite for drugs and alcohol. He was partying for sure. He was dating porn stars like Heather Hunter and Ginger Lynn, which is a fantastic porn name. They don't make porn names like that anymore. But according to Sheen, his drug problems have been with him since Hollywood. He's had long bouts of sobriety that run directly parallel with his success. Longer he's sober, the better he does, and then he'll just crash for a couple years and then come back.
This is probably someone who tried blow it like age 10.
Yeah, like his dad, you know, film a Vietnam movie.
Exactly right.
Yeah, but we will learn, sober or not, Charlie gets the job done. He did a ton of movies during his 90s coke phase, though, including, this is the best, All Dogs Go to Heaven 2.
I would say that's his best one.
Can you picture, like, just like, all right, I'm ready. Oh, God. Like, and just crying, like, this dog dies. I can't keep it together. Oh, Major League 2, and one of my dad's favorite movies, Money Talks. With Chris Tucker.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. My dad, I remember we went to a Blockbuster Music after Money Talks came out. We saw it in theaters. He probably shouldn't have taken me. A lot of cussing. And he's like, oh, I want the soundtrack because there was like a Barry White song in the movie. He gets the soundtrack. Every other song, he's like, fuck you, bitch. Fuck you. Like, just hardcore rap.
Pulled up?
No. No. But yeah, he bought it on tape. And I was like, dude, dad. And I looked at the track listing. He didn't know how, like, tapes worked. And I was like, dude, the Barry White song you want is the very last song on the second side of this tape. Everything else is gangster rap.
Yeah, I mean, thanks, Chris Tucker.
Yeah.
Like, your dad could have just bought the fucking, what was it, Barry Manilow? Barry?
Barry White.
Barry White album. Yeah, the rest of it is Mary J. Blige, Puff Daddy. Yeah, Little Kim.
I don't know. Wait, Puff Daddy? That doesn't sound familiar. Wait, what does he go by now?
He goes by Sex Trafficker. Little Kim, Naughty by Nature, Sisters with Voices.
Little Kim.
Yeah, Little Kim. Yeah, Mace. Yeah, so yeah, one Barry White song.
Not for my white
got your
sheriff
dad.
Yeah.
Should have got him a CD single.
Yeah, yeah, he would have been way better off with that. Now, despite his continuing success in films as well as television appearances, Charlie's addiction was spinning out of control. And in May of 1998, he suffered a stroke after overdosing on cocaine and alcohol. You got to do a lot of cocaine and alcohol to overdose, by the way. He spent the next 6 months in a rehab facility and then was released. And he rose like a phoenix from the ashes. His dad actually went like on television to give like a public statement about it. Like, we're all pulling for him. Thank you for your thoughts and prayers.
What year was this?
1998.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, overdosed. So now sober and back in the public's good graces, Charlie made a rare career choice for a major movie star like himself. In the year 2000, Sheen joined the cast of the wildly popular sitcom Spin City. He was brought on to replace the show's star, Michael J. Fox. The gamble paid off, and the already high ratings jumped even higher. He won a Golden Globe for this. It was a huge deal, and it was his major comeback. Like, it was, you know, it's a perfect sitcom moment. Like, well, who's going to be the new guy? And then Charlie Sheen live studio audience, woo, you know.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, you'll get to that, but they did that with him later on. But what was, what is Spin City? I've heard the name.
Spin City, I think, I don't know. Like, I remember my mom watching it a lot. I don't really know what it's about. It takes place in a big building, and everyone wears suits, and it's this fucking 90s,
and it won
fucking
awards.
2000 sitcom. Yeah, and it won awards. It's a big deal. Spin City. If you know what Spin City is about, comment on our post when we post about this. Now, Charlie had two major life events in 2000, landing Spin City and meeting his future wife, Denise Richards. The two met while filming the light romp, Good Advice. Just 2 years later, they were married. While Charlie Sheen's life was in arguably, you know, probably the best place it had been in years, another Hollywood giant was also on the path to better living and unimaginable success. Chuck Lorre was a renowned television writer and showrunner who started his writing career on Roseanne and went on to develop his own shows. This is the guy behind such hits as Dharma and Greg and Grace Under Fire. 90s shit out my mouth right now. I mean, like, it's bringing me back. But also, Brett Butler was the mastermind behind Grace Under Fire. You'll know about this if you watch Dark Side of Comedy, which I recommend you do. But, you know, he was the producer. He worked on a million classic shows. He also wrote theme songs, including the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle cartoon theme.
Really?
Isn't that cool?
Damn, okay.
Yeah. But he was an alcoholic. You know, that was
wonder what the royalties on that are.
I mean, there's a show on Netflix called The Toys That Made Us.
Oh, yeah. And one of the dudes that makes it.
Yeah, and there's an episode about Ninja Turtle toys.
Yeah,
they talk about the cartoon and how that was just like a vehicle to sell the toys.
Of course.
And Chuck Lorre actually does an interview about writing that song, which is crazy because, like, he's so much more famous and successful than that now.
Sure.
But yeah, he was an alcoholic, but he was on the path to improving his life. He's going through all this major success. So the project that brought Chuck Lorre and Charlie Sheen together would not only be the project that tore them apart, but it would also be the project that launched one of the most bizarre public tirades and celebrity feuds in history. That project was a new kind of sitcom, something raunchier and edgier than what one might usually see during primetime television hours, but still with a heart of gold. The title, Two and a Half Men. Men.
I've never watched it.
I watched three episodes the other night.
Oh, there you go.
And I giggled.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm ashamed to say. It's like when we did the Gallagher episode, I was like, fuck, this guy's funny. Yeah. God damn it. Like,
I mean, Two and a Half Men is very renowned.
Yeah.
But I've avoided so many, like, sitcom shows. You know what I mean? Like, I watched Frasier when I was 35 years old, and I was like, wow, I was like, that was great. Probably because I was 35.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But I'm always wondering about shows that I missed out on. Like, why was it that popular?
Two and a Half Men, buddy.
I went back recently and watched Scrubs, and I watched three episodes of it, and I was like, this sucks.
Yeah.
This is corny and dorky, and I hate it. And
Dude, I just watched all of Sons of Anarchy. Not the same genre at all, but that fucking shit sucks, dude.
Yeah, I mean, the first three seasons are like a show. Dude, and then after that, I'm like, ugh.
Dude, the guy that plays Jax, the lead in Sons of Anarchy, he's slated to play Ed Gein in the new Netflix
Charlie
Monster.
Something. Yeah. You know, so I've been in L.A. for 10 years last week. I moved here 10 years ago. And obviously, I've had a weird wildlife since then. But the first celebrity I ever saw in L.A. proper, me and Rebecca were at Hollywood and Highland, where the Foot Locker is. Used to be the old Gap.
Yeah, where the Foot Locker is. Yeah, you know, landmark.
It used to be the old Gap on the corner there. And we were walking down the street, and this fucking motorcycle pulls up next to us at the fucking red light. And it was Jax from Sons of Anarchy on a motorcycle.
That's so lame.
And I know. Me and Rebecca started cracking up, and I was like, well,
it's not lame that you saw him. It's lame that he was actually riding a motorcycle.
First celebrity sighting in L.A. was Jax on a motorcycle. And I was just like cracking up. I was like, what the fuck?
That's like if you lived in Hollywood in like the 50s and like you saw all the guys like wearing Western outfits like at like Gower Gulch at the like where the Rite Aid is now. Like that there used to be a soda shop there, and all the actors would go and hang out there, but in their costume. That's what that's like. So, Two and a Half Men is about the lives of the Harper brothers, Alan and Charlie. After Alan's divorce, he moves in with his swinging bachelor brother who writes commercial jingles for a living when he's not partying. And the two are joined by Alan's young son, and hilarity ensues. Now, Charlie's character was named Charlie, first of all, and the character was written with him in mind and was based on him, but it was also loosely based on Chuck Lorre's life as well, because Chuck Lorre was a jingle writer, yeah, theme song writer, partier, but Charlie Sheen was kind of, I feel like, living the life that Chuck Lorre always wanted. You know, it's like they partied probably the same amount, but he wasn't, you know, the red carpet walking, you know, paparazzi
behind the scenes,
magnet. Kinda. Yeah, he's behind the scenes guy. Yeah. And that'll come into play later. It's almost like Lorre emulated Charlie. And the two entered the show as sober guys looking back and laughing at their party days. But it quickly turned into life imitating art and not the other way around. The show debuted against Monday Night Football and still managed to be the highest rated show of the time slot.
Wow.
It was a massive success. Charlie Sheen was becoming a star all over again. Unfortunately, as his new show became a bigger and bigger sensation, his life was becoming more and more complicated. See, Charlie had two children during the first couple years of Two and a Half Men. Charlie and wife Denise Richards had their first daughter in 2004. Their second daughter was born in June of 2005, 4 months after Richards had filed for divorce from Charlie. She claimed that he was an uncontrollable gambling addict who was frequently paying for sex, essentially throughout the entire duration of their marriage. But the scariest and most concerning claim that Richards made about her ex-husband was that he was prone to violent outbursts, which would often have her fearing for her safety. Charlie denied the allegations, but now, once again, his dirty laundry was being aired in public. But this time, he had a new level of celebrity and a new, more bountiful cash flow. And he was single. And that's where we're going to leave off this week, folks. You know what I mean? It's such a fucking, like, I had to make this a two-parter. So this concludes the first part of Charlie Sheen's winning era, folks. We're going to leave you here this week. I'll be back with Eric D for the next part. And I do want to just preface this by saying we're going to record these in one day, okay? We try to release episodes every week, maybe a couple a month, whatever. There might be some gigantic, massive national tragedy that would require some addressing on the next episode. So if anything horrible happens between the release of these two episodes, our thoughts and prayers go out to whomever they might need to or not, whatever. But I just hope nothing really terrible happens because I'm selfish. But yeah, it also can't be overstated how big Two and a Half Men was, and that it's going to play a major part in this whole story. If you don't understand how successful that show was and what a big deal it was, it was such like a parent thing for me. Like, I think my parents had like season 3 on DVD for whatever reason.
Yeah, shitty ex-roommate would watch it all the time.
My parents also had season 4 of Mind of Mencia on DVD. I was like, what, did you miss it? Like, and you had to buy, like, what the fuck?
That's so
season
weird.
2 of Monk, just like arbitrary seasons of shows.
Before we end this, when did Two and a Half Men start?
That was, let's see. I think I have it in the next one. I think it was 2003. Yeah, 2003.
Okay, so season 1 or 2, he's divorced and single and making a shitload of money.
A shitload of money, but not as much as he's about to make. But you'll have to tune in next time. Folks, if you have a suggestion, obviously this was a topic that was suggested to us many a times. We would have done it anyways, I want to state. But contact us, culturedumps@gmail.com or on Instagram @culturedumps. I'm here with Eric D of Meth Syndicate. Hello. Just look up Meth Syndicate. You know, you probably already follow this guy. And also, you know, longtime co-host of the show. So
hello.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'll be back in a couple weeks.
Yeah. So join us next time for the harrowing conclusion of Charlie Sheen's winning era. Winning! And keep on dumping.